on Saturdays from 9:30 to 5.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I am your host, Jill Spears, here with my goo gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Good evening, gardeners.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
All right, and Jeff is in the control room, ready to take your call, 527-486-81, 866-KVNF now. That's right. These gardeners are here to take your questions, concerns, dirty hands and all.
Right. Mine are clean. I had to wash mine because I was picking my petunias that are all nasty.
Yeah, what's up with those petunias? You came in kind of cranky about that.
I was cranky.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I was at a house that I guess the wind really hit there because it took me an hour and a half to rake up all the sticks from the elm trees.
Oh, yeah. The little storm last night, which
was
glorious.
Oh, fabulous, right?
Felt good. Yeah.
Well, no, the petunias are just, they're so glorious when you first bring them home. But they've been in a very pampered situation in a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And then they get outside and they just go, what? What? You want me to what? You know,
curl
and so they're,
up.
Right, and so they're all screaming. And then, you know, these bugs get on them and stuff, a little, you know, and whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't like the heat.
They don't like the heat.
Yeah.
And they're in a place that's not that hot, but, you know. Obviously, it's too hot.
Just thinking of heat,
yeah.
Tomatoes won't pollinate above 90, 95 degrees. So there's going to be a blank spot in that harvest time this fall. You watch. You know, there'll be the early ones, but there might not be the mid-season ones. And then there'll be the late ones. You know, they don't like that kind of heat.
Wow.
They like to stay in about a 40 to 50 degree range. If their range goes... You know, and when we had those cold nights,
and
it was 95 during the day, but it was going down to 60 at night. They don't like that.
No, mm-hmm.
Too big of a range.
Yeah.
Too big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. 527-486-81-866 KVNF. Now, you mentioned tomatoes just a little bit earlier before the show, and handling those if you're a smoker.
Oh yeah, it's just. There can be some diseases in tobacco that will attack and decimate tomato plant. It's a virus or bacteria, wilt or something like that.
Yeah, we don't realize how much hybridizing has gone into tomatoes because they've been bred. We've bred out. Not GMO'd out, but bred out, hybridized out a lot of the wilts and things like that. But I went over and looked at Justy's tomatoes, and they have, what did I say they have? Oh, physiological leaf curl. And that's because it got too hot. That's what it's, yeah, I looked it up. You know, I went looking for pictures, and I found one, and sure enough, it's just that they get too hot. They get blazing. And, you know, that garden is fabulous. I mean, it gets maximum exposure. And then if the water is inconsistent, the watering is inconsistent. Or if you water and it gets too cool and then, you know, the day comes and it's too hot, then they freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physiologically.
Physiologically. I mean, I was blown away. I was like, what? Physiologically? I can't even spell it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so if you're a smoker or know people that are smoking, they come in the garden, well, wash your hands before you're going to handle tomatoes.
Yeah, and it's always a good idea to mulch around the roots of your big hardy plants like that just to keep the temperature more consistent.
Right.
Yeah, the soil temperature even. Yeah.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, good advice on tomatoes. Didn't realize that heat sensitivity. Thought they loved it, you know?
No, not really.
Not so much.
There's other plants that don't really like the heat or certain parts of them. Beans.
Beans.
The male part of the flower will die if it's too hot.
Hey, you were going to give us a bean report this week.
That's
Can you
right.
do that?
Yes, they're fabulous. They bounced. The first set of leaves looked like what hit them, and the next set is up, and they're doing great, but they are hot.
Yeah.
They are showing, you know, like on the edges where they just, they wilt, and then they wilt so much they can't come back from it, you know, so.
Yeah.
But that'll go away.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a bumper crop of peas.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is that, your sugar snow peas?
Snow peas. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Snow peas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm
good.
Excited. I'm excited about that.
I was at somebody's garden this morning, and they have fertilized so much that the beans actually got bean mosaic. And I just told them to pull them out. There's too much water, and
that's sorry.
Bean mosaic being
it's generally in the seeds, and how you control it on certain breeds, it's usually in dry beans. And how they generally would control them was the dryland pharma. But when you overwater and over-fertilize, it makes them more susceptible. And these things were so curled and studded, and I just said, pull those things out of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I love the way you just go, get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
You know? Yeah.
Don't even mess around.
Yeah. And with the physiological leaf curl, you cut it out, but the plant should recover.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get all of it out and, you know, control your heat problem there, then you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Sort of trim it up.
Yeah.
Trim it up.
And if it's that bad, you could always put shade cloth over it for a while.
Yeah, you know, that's a, yeah, God, that's.
You'll drop the temperature 10 degrees.
And yeah. It's getting more and more like that. That seems like you really do need to use shade cloth more and more.
Yeah, that stuff is amazing. Some of those shade cloth greenhouses that you go into, it's amazing the amount of heat that cuts.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the sun.
Yeah, because we had some blister. That sun was blistering. Yeah,
my raspberry leaves, even though I have old established plants, watering them, and they're burnt.
Yeah, sunburned, right.
So are my sand cherries, the Nanking cherries.
They're all
copper-colored, you know. And
right, exactly, little spots. And
It's real uniform, but it's a sunburn. It's flat-out sunburn. Mm-hmm.
527-486-8186 KVNF now. And Jen from Ridgeway is on the line. Good evening, Jen.
Good evening.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Awesome.
I'm doing well. I have a quick question about garden pests in my vegetable garden. I have some pill bugs. Some roly polies are eating my wonderful seedlings.
Yes.
And
can I get some advice how to get rid of them? You know, they weren't. There were only a few spotted, and then I flipped over a beautiful cauliflower leaf, and there were a couple dozen. So now I think I have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? It's going to keep getting more.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty they're very consistent. And I just went in the seedling stage. I dust everything every evening after if I've watered, I dust them every evening with diatomaceous earth.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Okay, perfect.
Every evening.
Perfect.
If I've watered, I've got to go and dust them. And I'm doing that not just with carrots, beets, celery. For some reason, they're not eating the lettuce or the cilantro, but they're eating the cabbage seedling. So if I water, I'm putting that stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to get some, too. I think that'd help.
What about fire ants?
Do we have fire ants?
I don't know.
I can't tell the difference between red ants and fire ants, but I have noticed I have a enclosed vegetable garden. I also have a raised bed outside, and I happen to have a lot of red or what maybe they're fire ants in my raised garden. Is there a threshold of too many is too many?
Yeah,
Oh yeah. You know, there if you had fire ants, you'd know it. You probably just have red ants, and they too will bite, and it hurts.
It hurts,
But what you do is you get cayenne pepper.
Okay.
That's one way.
Yeah.
And the other one they say, if I don't know if it works that well, but bone meal.
Yeah. Yeah, and bone meal, and what's the other one? There's a, malto meal cereal. First, but it doesn't get rid of them. It may not get rid of them like this summer, but they'll take it into their nest and eat it in the winter and die.
Okay. There's something else that's on the...
Yeah, there's some... Yeah.
There's one other thing. I'll think about it. Just keep listening.
It's cornmeal. I think it's cornmeal.
No, there is actually something you buy and you mix it with a sweetener, and they'll carry it down into the...
Is it wheat germ or something?
No, it's actually a natural insecticide. And they'll carry it down and...
Yeah, that's like the malto meal.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Carried into the nest.
And then it gets them next year.
Yeah, it gets them next year. Mm-hmm. But cayenne pepper will make them change their mind about where they're living, too.
And you might, and they like air, and you might try flooding them.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. That's super successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just keeping the whole bed. You know, we talk about watering down deep enough to get to the bottom of your bed. You know, if you do that, they don't like that.
Mm-mm.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Jen.
Thanks for saving us from ourselves. Yeah. Bye.
It sounds like just having diatomaceous earth on hand is a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it every week now for some time.
Yeah.
Putting it on something. Yeah,
but if there's a group of people that I buy a 40-pound bag.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the cheapest way. And if you've got some garden friends or a community garden someplace, just buy the 40-pound bag and split it.
And split it. But it doesn't go bad. If it doesn't get wet, you can keep it around.
Yeah, it's
for
in
years.
My shed, and it takes me about four or five years to use up that 40 pounds.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
See, so there you go. So that I wonder if that would help with the leaf hoppers. The leaf hoppers are getting to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy.
Didn't you have a strategy on that, like miles and miles of leafhopper tape?
Yeah.
New strategy this year, Lou.
Yeah.
You know what's probably going to take care of those for you?
What?
Is this fall, we'll start looking up the type of parasitic nematodes.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it in...
And you got to get the right one and put it on this fall, put it on in the spring again, and you'll take care of that.
I think that's the only answer right there, because I can't deal with 4,000 miles of flypaper in my garden. Jeez. I could just see it. My cats would be stuck in it. You know, the grasshoppers would be stuck in it.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Not doing it.
Yeah. Hey, Andy from Paonia is on the line with a question. Hello there.
Oh, sorry. I must have mispronounced my name. But it's you know who?
Yes.
You
guys, Anthony.
You guys Anthony. Me, yes. Anthony. All right.
You guys give me awesome ideas. We're bumping off, powdering off fire ants. Awesome. No, but I have a serious question.
Okay.
Because I'm just looking out my window in my Folgers plastic, you know, container. And I've got about 12-inch Joe Cocker tomatoes. And I'm just wondering, is there enough time to put those in the ground with all this heat and stuff?
Yes.
Or what?
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But like full sun, right?
At this point in time, sure.
Yeah.
And
have you hardened them off, though? I mean, like, are they outside already? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
You can do that. And that's just a little report. Remember those paste tomatoes the lady left with us?
Oh, yeah.
Well, mine that I planted from seed are 12 inches tall now and blooming.
Oh, the Jersey Devils.
The Jersey Devils.
The Jersey Devils.
So they're looking pretty good.
You enlightened me yet again because I got a tobacco plant from the Paonia Farm and from Linda and them.
Uh-huh.
And, man, that's going. That's gone.
No, don't take it out. That's a flowering.
No. Those are ornamental. I have some too.
Nicotiana.
Nicotiana.
No, that one already died.
Oh.
Okay. Now I've got another one that is smoking, it's going.
Oh yeah, okay. It's regular full-on smoking tobacco.
Right, because I don't want that mosaic stuff.
Uh-huh. Right.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Thanks, guys. You're awesome.
Oh, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Anthony.
All right, 527-486-8 1-866-KVNF now. And, okay to put those tomatoes in the ground, and you're still planting things. Both of you.
Yeah.
What's going on into
the
ground still?
Well, my regular lettuce, cilantro, green onions, And then I planted another planting of fennoquial or bulb fennel. And we mentioned last week about planting basil, so I planted more basil.
Yeah, I'm going to pull my broccoli. Remind me not to grow broccoli anymore.
What? Really?
Well, yeah, just bolts, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, or it's, I'm over it. So I think I'm going to pull it and do fennoquial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
and
you go.
Just, you might try planting seed of broccoli now for the fall crop. Just try a couple. Broccoli and cauliflower, it matures much better going into cool weather.
Well, I agree. And I usually do grow it from seed. Uh-huh. You know, I usually grow from seed. And then last year, of course, I had the broccoli failure, except for the ones that all came back in the spring, which was pretty clever of them. Yeah. Okay.
You know, if you want, just to see if it goes.
Yeah, if I can get some DeCiccio, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I root, that's... The other thing is like, you really, broccoli? I mean, it's okay, but
yeah,
there's so many things that are better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got to have broccoli, and they like nitrogen, so manure tea almost every week. Mm.
Yeah,
guys.
And all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a delicate crop to grow.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. But, I'm going to plant my fall kohlrabi next weekend. If the space is ready where the peas are took out, it's all ready. And also the fall kale. The curly kale that I plant.
Mm, yummy, yeah.
Yum.
So there's still plenty of time, and I'm still going to be planting clear into the first or second week of August.
Mm-hmm. Right. And my kale's doing beautifully, too.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
That got a thinning, and the collards are pitiful right now, but they'll bounce. In another 2 weeks, they'll start to look like something.
Mm-hmm.
And the wasps had to catch up.
But you're right.
The wasps had to catch up, and now I have this fabulous colony of wasps, and they're right near the filthy petunias. And so I was working on the petunias, and one came and landed on me and checked me out and then went away.
Oh.
But they
no
I
bite,
swear
no sting.
No.
Hmm?
No.
Great.
They get to know you. I swear they
yeah.
get to
yeah,
know
they're
you.
Pretty
they
smart
know how you
creatures.
Smell. You know, and so it came over, it landed on the back of my hand, and I said, yo, hey, what's up? And it just went back to its nest, and
yeah.
it was fine.
Yeah.
I had company this weekend, and they were, both of them freaked out about the wasps. I says, and they're just, oh, we got to get rid of them. No, just leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Just stay away from them. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you do have a nest that's in a funky place and you need to get rid of it, wait until it's dark and cool at night, and you can go off and you can take it off with your bare hands. But if you just have a hoe or a shovel or something, you can just scrape it right off and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Right, when it's cool.
When it's cool, yeah.
Yeah, super.
And darkish.
Super and darkish.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody recognizes you.
Yeah.
no wasp recognize you.
Well, I'm getting propane delivered, not a gardening thing, but those wasps love that tank.
Yeah.
And so every time I order protein, I got to go out and open that tank and get the wasps.
Right.
Get them out.
It's just one of their favorite hangouts.
Yeah.
They love places like that. The hotter, the better. I don't know how they do it, really.
Yeah.
But I had them once. I had bells on my gate. And they were inside the bells. They were inside these metal bells in full sun. I mean, it had
Inferno.
To be. Yeah, it had to be 120.
Right?
I mean, you couldn't touch it when it was hot,
you
know? I mean, oh my God, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, great creatures.
Fabulous.
527-486-8186 KVNF now. Hey, and it's Charis from Horsefly Mesa on the line. Good evening.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering about lupin. Up here on Horsefly, there are a few places where there's these beautiful purple patches of lupin, and they appear to be wild, and we would love to bring some into our garden because besides broccoli, we don't really have any other crops that do well up here. I mean, we have a mean broccoli crop up on Horsefly. That's
really?
Nice.
Broccolis and kales and cabbage and potatoes are pretty much all we've really had, you know, great success with.
Wow.
But we love our, you know, our perennial flowers. So I'm curious about poaching, transplanting lupin and also wild iris. Is this something that can be done easily or not at all? Or is there tricks and tips, times of year, that sort of thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
The wild iris is a go for it.
Yeah.
The lupin, good luck.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, it's going to be tricky. Try and get some seeds. And and that plant moves around so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nomadic.
Oh, really?
It moves around. You know, you'll have a big patch over here 1 year and then it disappears. And then it, you know, it shows up 30 feet down the road, you know, or something. And but see if you can find some seeds. And for sure, try it.
Yeah,
I mean,
try it.
Who cares, right?
And I was thinking maybe taking some of the soil that it does well. And I mean, I think the elevation where it matches, and maybe just take a big chunk with it, you know, as we pull up the roots or something.
Yeah.
This is something they do in the tree farms. Is before they dig them or as they're growing, they will take their tree spade and chop around the trees, but not pull the tree. And that makes the roots act like a pot.
Together. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that they do that. So why don't you mark some of those lupins this fall and chop around them, but don't dig them up.
And good idea.
Early spring,
go up there.
Go up there and go for
it. See what you got. Yeah.
I like that. And spring would be a good time to do the
before they get leafy
and all.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. Again, what a great show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charis. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Right, Charis up there on Horsefly Mesa is pretty good elevation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty high up there. Yeah.
Yep. And the lupin, too, they need a certain – we're always talking about the little
bacteria, the soil, the mitochondria
and all that. They really – they have to have that.
They have to have that.
Yeah.
It's like when you're planting, like, the junipers or pinions, you should go out in the forest and get a shovel full of the leaf mold from under those guys and put it in the hole or right on top, mulch with it, because it has that –
yeah.
It helps them.
Yeah, it helps them. Helps them acclimate to their new spot.
Feel at home.
But, Jill, I had a couple people ask me today about what to plant after the garlic's out.
Right.
Because there's plenty of time. So I'd mentioned on the phone, I plant pintos, but you can plant peas. You can plant any type of green, fall greens. Generally speaking, you don't follow a root crop with another root crop, but beets would be just fine. Beets and daikons. You know, I mean, there are root crops that will mature at this point in time.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so there are, like I said, kale, lettuce, spinach, Finocchio.
Mm-hmm. All those fun things.
Mm-hmm.
You happen to do pintos, and they came up pretty quick.
They came up in 6 days.
Yeah,
that's because they got water the day I planted them, and the soil's 85 degrees.
Right.
Yeah, most people plant are those beans and corn, and really the optimum soil temperature for them to germinate is 80 degrees, not 65. 65 they tolerate, but 80 degrees they just come right out.
Is optimal, yeah.
Yeah, they get fast. They get happy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
All right. Hey, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. We have time for a couple calls. I have a question about watering and watering trees and shrubs. Because a lot of times you just forget about those big old trees. They kind of just take care of themselves. And
some of them do, especially in Peonia.
Yeah.
The water table is so high.
Yeah, so what should you think about that? I mean,
well, I have in my garden, because I don't have that kind of water table, I see the understory plants that are like the grasses or the comfrey, and you can see they're drying out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the grass starts to dry out. The tree's taking everything.
Yeah.
You know, and the comfrey wilts.
Okay.
You know, so I have these indicator plants.
Okay, indicator plants. Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to keep up on. I have so much to water, but those mulberry trees I know now are just taking so much water.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big leaf in their 16 inch trunks across a diameter.
Yeah, so that's
big.
Well,
those are big trees.
And, you know, I've dug up roots because they have yellow roots. I dug them up 25 feet outside the drip line.
Wow.
You know, so they're taking water from a tremendous area.
They're going for it.
Yeah. And I got the mulberries and I have a row of grapes. And then 6 feet away from those grapes, or 7 feet, is the garden bed, started the garden bed. So I had a row of amaranth. They're all leaning towards the south away from me. And the squash is, the next one's in. And all the squash are running the other way, too. Yeah. They're not running towards those mulberries. They know.
They're not going around the mulberry bush.
No, they out of there.
Yeah. Okay. And I have to water extra. I have to water a little bit more than usual for those guys.
Yeah, that's that same thing. You know, you got to figure it out. You got to stick something in the dirt and figure out how far down your water is getting. Because right now is the time when it, you know, if you're only going down 6 inches or whatever and you need to go down 2 or 3 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you got to get on it.
Get on it. Absolutely.
So.
Get on it or get away from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same old thing. And it's always tricky.
Yeah. You gotta be watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, and you go, it's you just, oh, yeah, right. Okay, I forgot about that. Yeah. There you are.
They're at. Well, I'm watering the fruit trees twice a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For an hour at a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's kind of what I was looking for. Thank you, Lance.
That's the fruit tree to orchard area. I actually have lawn sprinklers in there, and I mow that grass. I don't mow the yarrow or the – what else is in there? Yarrow and comfrey and the sorrel. I let them sort of go wild.
My sorrel is doing fabulous.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I'm going to make sorrel pesto. Yummy.
Yummy.
Yep.
That just has that nice bitey spice to it.
I love it.
So fresh and good.
And I'm going to try some this year with a little bit of mint in it. I made sorrel soup once with a tiny bit of mint.
Oh, God.
And I loved it and nobody else did. But I'm going to try a little of the pesto with
it. We'll test it.
Okay. Good. Tiny bit of mint.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going
to
be
delicious.
Yeah,
I think it's going to – I thought it was fabulous when I made the soup that way. So
great.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, last week we talked about transplanting irises and you have a bunch of irises.
Oh,
and we had
God.
A couple of people that emailed and are – interested in sharing irises with you.
Right.
Are you sharing irises with them?
Irises, maybe not so much, but my daylilies.
Oh, daylilies. Yeah.
Aye.
Okay. Daylilies. That's what it was.
Yeah. There's a lot of daylilies.
Yeah. So I've got that information for you, Lulu.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then John up on Redlands wants to let everybody know that tarragon is taking over his herb area. So if anybody wants some roots, go ahead and give us a call here and leave your number, and we can pass that on to John up on Redlands. I love tarragon.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite.
Oh, man. I make this dressing that you can use on anything, but I use it on a 15-bean salad that I make.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I haven't done it yet. I'm going to go home and make – I'm going to go home and soak the beans. That's it. That's it. I'm going. That's it.
You probably got a lot of those kind of beans. I mean, you must have how many varieties, Lance?
Oh, 25 or so.
25 beans.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't. I've figured out which ones I like.
Oh, well, that's good news.
You know, so I don't grow all 25. It's like I keep them, and every once in a while I grow them out. This year I have a white tepary bean. I have the Montezuma reds. I have the Swedish browns, Belitas. And then some people that came from the northeast or northwest, excuse me, and they had a different type of tepary. He called it, it was a brown and black speckled.
Wow.
And that will be just enough for a seed crop. I won't get much to eat.
Uh-huh.
So, and plus it takes a few years to get it adapted to the soil conditions of what we have. And of course, I just planted the pintos.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh.
Rolling in the beans.
Yeah,
I don't worry about it that much. I just go down to the store and
and the Tibetan barley got harvested.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And so you're going to dry that out.
I will dry that out, and it doesn't matter when I thresh it. But the longer it stays in the stock, the better it gets.
Okay. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Dawn barley corn barley is such a fun. I like that one.
Uh huh. Yeah, and this Tibetan barley is for flour. It's not you don't cook it whole. Mm-hmm. It's actually you grind it up into flour.
Ooh,
does it have gluten in it?
No.
Oh, see, there you
go. There you go. That's what we're looking for. That kind.
Yeah,
of
well, that whole gluten
flour.
Thing. That's another story. But
yeah.
Right.
I'm so glad I don't have to go there. I got a hot sourdough loaf this morning, and I almost ate the whole thing for breakfast.
Easy to do.
I mean, you know, how can you not? You got your Oh, man, I was on my second cup of coffee. I had too much butter on the bread. I was like, yeah, this is good. I might die tomorrow, but I'm going for it today.
Yeah.
Yummy.
Yeah, when I make bread, the butter comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Bread, warm bread out of the oven and...
Lots of
too
butter.
Too much butter.
Yeah. More butter, the better.
Too much butter.
Yeah, too much butter.
And three pieces later.
Yeah.
Have a little bread with your butter.
Yeah.
Right? You're walking around going, oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
There it is.
All right. Well, that was some great calls tonight and good information. Thank you, Lulu. Thank you, Lance. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back next Tuesday for another edition of As the Worm Turns. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. And it's... Leah up next with One Woman's Perspective. Thanks for listening to KBNF. Right.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.